But now for something completely different.
Smoke medical weed every day.
The following thoughts on Hoffy Hour represent Brian Hoffy and Facet. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoffy Hour.
He is the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoffy Hour.
Hoffy Hour. Hoffy Hour. Hoffy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and let's get right into it. From 99.9 KISW in Seattle, Steve Miggs is on Hoppy Hour. What's up, bro?
Hello, man. How you doing?
So I had a mess up at work where I thought I lost an audio file. So when I was texting you, I ended up finding it, and I just saved it in a different file. And then on the way driving here to make it on time to interview you, I was in Florida traffic, and I lost 5 minutes of my life because four cars in front of me were not driving, and I went around all the cars, and there was no traffic ahead of me. So I want to ask you, is that just a Florida thing? Because I know Seattle is growing by the minute. It's a major market. It's a big city. It's top 10. Do you guys have that type of traffic where people are just idiots on the road, or is that just Florida?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, dude. It's huge here. Actually, that seems to be the running joke here, that nobody knows how to drive when it rains, and then nobody knows how to drive when it is sunny, and then nobody knows how to drive for the few times that it snows. It's just, it's nonstop, dude. It's one of the biggest banes of my existence. I live about 35 miles from work. So it's about a 40-45 minute drive in the morning at 4 a.m. It's a breeze, but coming home, it's like rush hour after 1:00. It's ridiculous around here.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. I've realized I'm a fan of the Seahawks because right when I became friends with you guys was when they won the Super Bowl, and I have a Supersonics hat. And yep. I've never been to Seattle. It's really weird to think about. I want to go so badly.
You got to make the trip, man. And also, I mean, the talk is that the Sonics are coming back once they figure out this media deal, because they're waiting to sign the media deal this year. And then after that, they're going to bring in two new expansion teams. And it seems like it's a lock that it's going to be Seattle and Vegas.
Have you guys forgiven the Thunder at all?
I mean, it's nice to see them consistently fail, even when it looks like they're going to do well and then they end up just failing. I think that brings a good smile to everybody around here's face. I think once you get a new team, the animosity might kind of go away, but they're still, dude, like, I'm not a huge basketball fan, so I might be the wrong person to ask. As a casual basketball fan, I just want to see the Sonics come back. I don't care about the Oklahoma City Thunder, but there are some people to this day that won't drink Starbucks because, you know, the Sonics at one point were owned by Howard Schultz, who owned Starbucks, and they're still so mad at what happened with him selling it to an ownership group that took him to Oklahoma City that they refused to drink Starbucks.
Yeah, I sometimes find those sports fans to be a little bit ridiculous, kind of like the people in Cleveland 14 years ago that were burning LeBron's jersey, but then praising him when he came back 5 years later.
Dude, the LeBron thing will forever make no sense to me. How a guy who's a dominant player, who never gets in trouble outside of this, in just his personal life, sounds like he's a great dad, a great husband, but people treat him like he's the biggest piece of shit. And I think it's just the funniest thing because I'm just like, dude, let's not forget, like, this is a good human being. Yeah, okay, so when he was younger, he did this stupid press conference, but you're still mad at him for something he did when he was a younger dude? Like, I'm glad people can look past like what the stupid crap I do when I was younger. I'm sure you feel the same way, but
bro,
for some reason, people still have to stick up their ass about LeBron James.
I was trying to figure out a way to slide this into the show, but this is a perfect example of just being young and dumb. What memory do you think, I think it was the first year we became friends. What memory do you think I have of me being young and dumb around you, Steve? What memory?
Well, Ryan Hoppy, you need to let it go. It's okay that you put your feet on my hotel bed. We can move past that. We can
act like
it never happened. I feel like you've grown.
Yes, literally and figuratively.
Dude.
So for people that haven't listened to my previous interview, I met Steve Meigs 11 years ago at the boot camp, and this is in 2014, but I was very high and very drunk, and I think this is the night we got to White Castles, all the White Castles.
Dude, we pretty much bought the entire stock of White Castle that night, and ate maybe five burgers, but had like about 40 left over after the fact.
Usually, I don't make it to the next morning's panel because I'm hungover, but I didn't make it to the next morning's panel because I didn't feel good from all the White Castle. And I think we had deep dish that night. That may have been when we took that picture of everybody, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, weed's a terrible drug sometimes, kids.
Yeah, for as great as it is, I'll get the munchies. I'll get the munchies in the middle of the night. And then I have this like thing where I'm half asleep when I'm eating. So like the next morning I'll see like a jar of peanut butter and a knife next to my bed. And I'm like, what the hell did I do last night?
Dude, it's funny. Like sometimes people will be like, cause you know, at one point at my heaviest, I was like 285. And I'm like, now, I don't know. It depends on how I'm feeling. If I'm trying to put on extra weight to get size or whatnot, but I'm usually around like 215 ish. And everyone's always like, well, what was the secret to losing all that weight? And I'm like, stop smoking weed. Like for me, I think smoking weed just made me want to eat all the ice cream, all the White Castle. And the moment I stopped doing that, I was way more, because I was always good during the day. I was like, okay, I could eat well, I could be responsible. It was just end of the night, munchies. And, you know, it's not like you're going to reach into the refrigerator and grab a bag of carrots. It's like, oh, there's Ben and Jerry's. Let me just crush this whole thing.
Yeah. Why can't weed make you want to eat something healthy? You know?
Right. I got so stoned I ate all this celery. It was incredible.
I think that's the biggest problem with weed for me, man. I love it, but man, like it makes me want to munch out. Like I'll be like, I gotta go to 7-Eleven and get gummy bears and get gummy Skittles and that. And then afterwards I feel like garbage and I'm like, why did I just do that?
I mean, look at Jack in the Box. They figured it out. They're like, hey, fourth meal, come get all the crazy shit. We got tacos, we got egg rolls, we got chicken teriyaki, we got burgers, whatever you need, you stoners, come and get it right now at 4 a.m.
It really is weird to think that like Seattle was one of the first spots that just kind of made weed cool, you know?
Yeah, dude, that was crazy. Like Colorado and Seattle were the first to legalize it. And man, if you're in a state where it's not, that seems just so ridiculous to me now. Like, it blows my mind when you go visit a town and they're like, oh, yeah, recreational pot shops are still not happening. It's still medicinal. I'm just like, you guys Florida. Are losing out on so much money.
That is Florida. Yeah,
Florida's that way now, huh? Okay, that's crazy. I know, like, Texas is as well. Vegas now, you could go to the pot shops. But from what I hear, like, they're charging you a pretty penny just to get, like, you know, the cheapest kind of stuff.
When I
Las Vegas.
When I went to Illinois for my birthday back in August, I was like, I want to go to this recreational shop. And it's such a scam in Illinois because it's so expensive. If you have your medical card, you don't have to pay any of the taxes, which is, I think, normal. But it was the biggest scam because what happened was I got 3 pre-rolls and a half a gram card for $100. $100 for 4 things. And they were small pre-rolls. Yep. It's ridiculous.
What's like liquor here too? Like you go to a grocery store, you're like, holy crap, this bottle's only $20. And then after all the taxes, you're like, oh, okay, now it's $35. Now I see why it was so cheap.
What's it like living in Washington? Have you seen a increase or decrease living there over the years?
In population?
I guess I should have worded that better. I guess overall as a vibe, like, is it improving? Cause like I'll go to Chicago, I'll go to Chicago, and I'm like, this city is becoming a shithole. It was smart of Don Anthony not to do a morning show boot camp there. You know what I'm saying?
No, I feel you. I mean, it depends on who you'd like to ask. I mean, but yeah, Seattle itself, the city is not. It's not that great. I'll be honest with you. Like, and I love living in Seattle, Washington. Like, when you say you live in Seattle, that means you maybe live in Puyallup, where it's actually where I live, or Tacoma, or Edmonds, or Everett. There's a lot of like smaller cities that are within 30, 40 miles of the actual city proper of Seattle. But Seattle itself, man, like what you said about Chicago, you could say the same about Seattle. It's dirty. It's got a massive homeless problem. It's not safe. And I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and some not great areas. And so for me to say something's not safe, I'm not saying like I'm walking around fearing for my life, but you got to walk around with your head on a swivel. And it wasn't always like that. When I first moved out, to Seattle. And I always try and like preface it by saying, I'm not trying to sound like the old guy. It's like back in the day, Seattle was awesome. But back in the day, Seattle was awesome. It was a fun city. Bands were playing everywhere you went. And I'm talking like 15, 20 years ago, not like 40, 50 years ago. But like, you know, the art scene was incredible. It was affordable-ish to live there. Like you weren't having to work four jobs just to make rent. Nowadays, it's impossible to live in Seattle without having to like have multiple jobs or basically putting half of your salary to just covering your rent or your mortgage. It's not that great, man. Like, and anytime anyone comes to town, they're like, hey, what's the cool stuff to check out? I'm like, honestly, I drive in, I park in the parking garage, I do my job. And then once I get in my car, I get the hell out of Seattle and go back to Puyallup or wherever it is that I feel like going. Tacoma's great. Bellevue's not that bad. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's at least clean. I feel like a jerk saying that, but Seattle is not in a good place right now. It's sad, though, when like we had the Winter Classic here or the All-Star Game. Then all of a sudden, everything's getting cleaned up. And you're like, oh, crap, this is the city that I fell in love with. And then once, you know, those events go by, all of a sudden it's back to like, you know, people shooting up on the streets. I took my kid, who's four, both times I've taken her to Seattle, go to the aquarium, to walk around. Both times we saw guys smoking crack, like plain as day, middle of the day. And it's just like, it's sad, man, because like this city was once a beautiful city. And, you know, I don't know what the reason is. I'm sure that depending on which side you vote for, you'll have an argument to say that's that reason or that reason, whatever. But man, what it's become is a shell of what it once was. I'll be honest with you.
As a father, what do you do in that moment when there's a person smoking crack in front of your daughter?
You tell your daughter that they're having a conversation while smoking a cigarette together, and you just keep on walking.
That's the best answer ever.
What are you going to do? Hey, Tatum, you're four, but let me introduce you to this world known as crack cocaine. Like, you know, it's like you just keep walking, and you hope that. Dude, it's a mental note. The older she gets, the less likely I'm going to want to take her to Seattle. I mean, unless something changes. But it sucks because, you know, it's a beautiful city.
Man, that is crazy that happens. For me, being from Chicago, it's sad because, like, I feel like I have to leave after midnight. And the old Chicago, even 7-8 years ago, it wasn't fun until midnight. You'd be out at the bars till 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You have like homeless people. I don't know if it's like this in Seattle, but in Chicago, like in Florida, when a homeless person asks for money and you say, I don't have it, that Florida man just walks away. They're not happy that they didn't give money, but they're like, whatever. In Chicago, there's right. A little more of an intensity. I don't know if it's because of the cold weather that they're just crazier, but they'll be like, oh, white boy, I bet you have some money. And I'm like, no, I don't have any money. And they start to ask over and over, and you have to start like walking a little fast. Like I remember one night, I think this was 2018. I was like, I'm going to save $20 and not Uber from the bar back to the hotel that the boot camp was at. And I was running so fast. And Randy, who used to work on the Woody Show, I was sharing a room with him, and he's like, "Bro, why are you out of breath?" And I'm like, "Cause I just almost got jumped. It's crazy."
Yeah. No, dude, it's sad, man. It's like the middle of the day, my wife and I were walking around the streets of Seattle, and there's just like a homeless guy that's pacing with us, yelling and screaming right towards our face. And I'm just like, there's no winning in this. Like, what do I get in the face of this guy? I don't know what he's capable of, what he's on. And that's not a I don't feel like getting into a fight while I'm with my wife. Like, so then you got to like awkwardly cross the street and hope that he doesn't follow you, man. Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Do you ever Well, obviously you get recognized. You've been doing radio there for a while, but do you ever get like recognized and you kind of get an off vibe about the listener and you try to like not be seen or try to end the conversation early?
At times you encounter somebody that maybe for whatever reason they're making, I joke about this a lot of times, either via text, social media, or in person. I always want like, one of these days, I'm just going to look at these like certain people and be like, hey, you're just making it weird. And that's the only way I can describe it. Like, sometimes people make it weird and they say something. But I also have to chalk it up. Like, I know when I've met somebody that maybe I'm excited to meet, I might have put my foot in my mouth. So I try and take it with a grain of salt, especially in person. 99 times out of 100, anytime I've met anybody, it might be a little awkward, but it's never been where I'm like, I need to get out of this situation. Like I actually do try my best to, like, when I realize that it's kind of an awkward start, to try and figure out a way to make it less awkward and ask some questions about themselves. Because at the end of the day, this is just my job. I truly don't have that attitude of feeling like what I do makes me any different than anyone else, except that I'm very fortunate that I have a job that people are excited to either a meet me or hear about. But I just try to make the conversation, the experience fun for both parties. Like and more often than not, I enjoy meeting the listener and learning about what is going on in their world, because it gives you a vibe of what that person is about, the person on the other end of the radio. And also it creates a connection that hopefully they leave with a good taste in their mouth and they want to continue to listen. You know, it's one of my favorite parts about the job is when somebody comes up at, especially in random places, like when you're at a store and you're just like, I wasn't expecting to meet a listener here. And you meet them and it's like, oh crap, that was a cool couple of minutes. You know, obviously, like if I'm with my kid, I'm still down to talk for a few minutes, but the minute my kid wants to go somewhere, the conversation's over. I'm like, and everybody, and anytime I've ever been anywhere, from the fair to a restaurant to the mall, I think everybody understands that. Like the moment, like, you know, like Tatum's like walking or wants to do something, they're just like, hey man, appreciate you taking a couple minutes. I get it. You got to go.
Yeah. I have this weird thing where you got to remember, like, my old radio job was Florida Man Radio. So imagine being recognized by Florida men, and it was always weird. It was always like, do you know what this person said about you? Like, yes, I work there, or yes, I give reports.
Yeah.
That's what I think is weird, is I feel like, and Rick Rumble said this to me. I interviewed him this week. He said that it's like they sometimes don't remember that we're human beings and we're like a cartoon character to them, especially like rock and especially like rock radio, where it's like upbeat, a show like yours or Rick Rumble's, where it's a little more edgier and fun. I feel like they forget that there's also, like, you're a completely different person off air. You're the same person, but off air, you're one of the chillest, nicest dudes I've ever met. I'm not saying you're not like that on air, but on air you're very energetic.
No,
but off air you're kind of like introverted off air, just a tad bit.
Oh no, you sum me up perfectly. I'm super to myself, and I have to like kind of force myself to engage with people, because I'm not a guy that does small talk. It's not because I don't want to talk to people. I'm just in my own head. I'm usually thinking about crap or whatever it may be. You know, honestly, like, I always joke about this, but at times, and it's not all the time, but sometimes you do meet some listeners that maybe get a little too aggressive and like, hey, I want to hang out, or hey, give me your number. And I joke about it. I'm like, doing radio, especially in our format, when people get like that, that's the moment when I started to understand what it's like to be a female, in a sense of,
yes,
a guy will come up to you.
Yes.
You're nice to them.
Yes.
The moment that they misunderstand why you're being nice. Like, I'm just being nice because, hey man, it's cool to talk to you, but like this is where it ends. And then they're like, oh man, give me your number. And then if you say no, they get butthurt about it.
Have you ever had a
insult you?
Have you ever had a listener try to ask for a number?
Oh, millions of times. Like I've had it. Like, it's not even funny. Like there are times where, like, I'm at a wrestling event and a guy comes running up to me. He's like, and he has his phone in his hand. He's like, give me your number. And my buddies are just like, because I'm just honest. I go, no man, I'm not gonna. I have social media. I'm on my phone just as much with my social media as I am any other way. If you need to get a hold of me, texting me is. You could tweet at me and you'll get to me just as fast as you will if you text me. But that's my own little world, man. I'm keeping that private. And more often than not, they're cool. There's a couple times where guys get butthurt about it, and that's weird. And those are the moments where I feel like a girl. I'm just like, oh. So now I know what it feels like to be a hot chick. Like, this is really weird. And I feel bad for you guys, because they deal with it all the time. We deal with it once every like 7 or 8 months.
I deal with it being tall. I can tell when somebody is going to approach me because they up down me because they're amazed by my height. And then if they're with a group of dudes, usually they like whisper in their ear and they're like saying, is that Hoppy? Because it's something I've learned. It's always this weird thing because they're like taken back. They're like, is that the dude from the radio? And then when they start to come up, you sort of know it's going to happen. And sometimes I'll if I notice that I'm being recognized, I'll be on my best behavior and I turn the other way, because I have this weird thing where whenever I am recognized, it's always after a long day of work where I don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. It's never when I slept in and I'm very energetic and I just got done working out and I'm going to the bar to grab a beer or I'm going to a game and I'm all energetic and ready to be recognized. Like, I'll go to a hockey game, bro, and I'm like, Ryan Happy is going to get recognized tonight. And now one person at the Tampa Bay Lightning game says hi to me. But then, like, I'll be at a dive bar after a long day and two people recognize me. It's sort of weird how the universe does that.
It is, man. But my advice to you, man, like, a lot, and I've had to do this myself. Like, sometimes I'll hear them whispering and I'll hear my name, and I'm like, my initial reaction is like, get away as quickly as possible. Not because I'm trying to be rude, but I just, it's awkward.
Yeah.
But then I realize it's just as awkward for them, but they're so fired up. They do want to meet you.
True.
Like, if you get the vibe, someone wants, just say hi and, you know, have a quick conversation. We'll be like, and more often than not, dude, like, I've had people where, like, they want to talk my ear off. I'm like, hey, man, I'm gassed. I got to get home to my kid, or I got to do this. And I think everybody knows what that feels like. Even someone who's like, but the fact that, like, you acknowledge them and said hi to them, that stuff will stick with them forever. As opposed to, I had to remind myself of this. Like, the last thing you want is someone being like, I know Hoppy saw that. I was, knew that I was excited to see him, but I was nervous, and he just chose to, like, keep walking, you know?
Fair point.
You got to remind yourself of that. As much of a pain in the ass that it is, as it can be at times, like, I try and think of it in my head as they have no idea what's going on in your world, but they're so fired up to see you in the flesh that if you can make it easier for them to say hi,
True.
Do it, and then just go on with your day.
Did that come with, like, practice of just doing it forever? Because I feel like I'll definitely get there, but I'm also a little bit younger than you, too.
Oh, for sure, dude. Like, I'm just, this is stuff that, like, probably, you know, you'll be like, yeah, that sounds great. And then, like, in 15 years, you'll be like, oh, now I totally get what Mitch is saying. It's a lot, it's so much easier just to be friendly and say what's up, as opposed to show up and, even though you're not being rude, it could be viewed as being rude because you decided to just keep going because you had a rough day.
True.
And look, I get it. We all have rough days. But you know what? In a weird way, those days where, like, someone comes up to me when I've had a crap day and they're so fired up, it's infectious. And, like, I leave feeling – I mean, dude, someone just wants to make you feel – is so fired up to meet you. How do you not leave being happy about that? Like, that's – I mean, if they're being an asshole, then it's like, go fuck off. But you know, if they're excited to meet you, man, that's freaking cool. Like, at the end of the day, like, somebody who works at, you know, insert fast food restaurant here is not getting that unless they're handing out some free burgers. Like,
true.
That's something that not many people have that in their life, where a random stranger is beyond excited to meet you. And I think sometimes a lot of us in this industry, myself included, have taken that for granted. And I've tried to be, and I know I have, I've gotten better at that, because, man, that's a listener that will stick with you for life. And in this game of radio, that's our job, man. Like, we're trying to have these emotional connections with the audience, however it is, with comedy, with vulnerability, with personality, whatever, however it is that you're making those connections, you want to keep somebody for life. The way to do that is, if they recognize you, man, take that minute and just say what's up.
Damn. You just changed my mind. You should do a whole panel on that, getting recognized. I've always wanted to ask you. So, obviously, I'm a radio geek, so I know about radio. What was it like working with Andy Savage? Because I can't, there's some preacher with the same name, but I can't find anything online about the guy. It's fascinating.
It was, I learned a lot. And that sounds like a really, like, roundabout way of saying it was terrible, but it wasn't. It was incredible. It was like a hurricane hit me in my life. I'd imagine it's probably similar to working with, like, you know, like, guys that you've worked with in the past at a young age,
when
they're caustic and they're loud and they're full of, like, piss and vinegar. But, like, it was like a whirlwind of them. Like, oh my God, what is going on? There's so much stuff going on. Cause he's an old school dude. You know, he was from that old way of just shock jock. And
I would say, you know, for me, it would be like when I worked with Rover's Morning Glory, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. It's like, it's a buzzsaw. And it's, don't get me wrong, like, it was exciting because I was in my 20s and it was just like, I'm in radio. I learned a lot of how not to treat people.
Yeah, I feel
and
that.
I think over the years, he's, you know, when I watched him as he evolved and he grew, he also, I think, realized, like, okay, I can't treat people those ways anymore. I mean, radio was a different time, and it's not justifying it, but it was, I think, calling it like it was like a walking hurricane. You just never knew what was going to happen. There was a lot of arguments. But it was also a lot of laughs, a lot of memorable radio moments, a lot doing crazy stuff that we can never get away with these days anymore, doing stuff that seems to have a legacy that lives forever. I think he was the first to ever do War of the Roses. That was like a bit that he came up with. And to see where it's like, you know, it's now like insert any top 40 radio show. And we were doing that on an alt rock station, but insert any top 40 radio show is doing that bit now. And that started with Andy Savage. And that's kind of crazy to think about. Long answer short, it was challenging, but I learned so much from it, stuff that I still apply to this day.
Yeah.
And the guy was a brilliant, brilliant radio personality.
For me, I would say that's like my Rover experience, but it's like a lot of times the difficult people you learn a lot from. For example, Rover always would say, save it for the air. Save it for the air. Like how when I was talking to you before the show, I'm like, let's just say it on the air. And to me, that's like one of the most important things, is because I've worked with shows where they talk to their guests during the break, and then it's like they have nothing to talk about on air. It's like, save it for the air.
Yes. Right. 100%. 100%. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of us still to this day have that mindset. Like, we'll even like during commercial breaks, we're BSing. I'm like, oh, don't forget to talk about that. Like, I'm not like one that's like, hey, save it for the air so much anymore. I'm more just like, hey, remember that when we talk about it. Because, you know, obviously we can't just sit in silence during a commercial break.
Yeah.
Especially with our show. Like, we're still building chemistry. And honestly, some of our most, I think some of our better bonding moments have just been the conversations we've had during songs or during a commercial, or, you know, like, we're still learning about each other and building something special. And I wouldn't want to had that mindset right now, at least, of, hey, don't talk about it until we're on the air, because it's like, well, this is how we're fleshing stuff out. And sometimes, like, stuff that we would have never thought to talk about on the radio happened because we didn't save it for the air. We were just BSing. I'm like, oh, man, we should go down that road. But there's pros to both. Like, I'm not saying one's better than the other. But for us right now as a show, for my mindset, it's, let's just keep talking and let's just keep paying attention to each other and what makes us all tick, because that's when we're going to realize what great radio is for what we're doing.
Now, I've known you for more than a decade, so I know you're about to give me a very humble answer. But let me tell you, I've heard a lot of radio, like whenever it's the first show and it's somebody I know from the boot camp. And I never reach out and say, oh, good first show, because I didn't think it was a good first show. My goodness, you and Taryn are a great team, my friend. It's crazy to think that the show's not even 2 months old. I listen to it, and it sounds like a show that's 2 years old. Like, I think it's because you knew her before and you guys were friends. Yeah. But, dude, congratulations on the ratings, and the show sounds great, bro.
I appreciate that, man. It was crazy when everything went down, and they're like, we want to keep you. You could build a show around you. And, they, you know, it wasn't like they were like, you can have whoever you want. But they said, who do you want? And I said, I want Taryn Daly, who she was our night person. And mind you, Taryn and I weren't like close friends. Like, we were very good acquaintances.
True.
But I knew there was something special, oddly enough, and we got to tell them this. Like, there's a local TV show, like Anytown has like their local afternoon, like personality news show, and it's called New Day Northwest. And they would invite KSW personalities on a lot. A lot of times they would invite me, and then they would just pick another random person from the station because I had a good relationship with their producers and the host. And then one time they invited me and Taryn, and it went really well. And then I started realizing, I'm like, they're never inviting anyone but Taryn and I. Like, I think they just like that dynamic. And that kind of stuck with me. Like, that's something interesting. And I knew Taryn well enough to know that I trusted her. And to me, that was the biggest thing when, like, you know, the company said, hey, this is what's going on. And then it had some ideas of some people. And I'm like, here's the thing. This all happened rather quickly. Like, within like 2 months, I had to, like, you know, find out what's going on with BJ, and to now all of a sudden let's build a new show. And it was just like, it was a whirlwind. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable going into this with someone I don't trust. Like, if I'm going to start a brand new show, I have to build chemistry, I have to build trust, and then we have to build a show. and we have less than 2 months to do all of that. Like, that's, you're setting me up for failure. Whereas I was like, I know with Taryn, I trust her. I have chemistry with her. I can help her get through everything of the mechanics of doing a morning radio show. I know it's overwhelming for her, but she's talented. She's quick on her feet. I can help her with the nuts and bolts part. I can walk her through that. It won't be perfect, but I that can be learned quickly. Trust can. Chemistry can.
True.
So put me in a situation where I can trust, and, like, you know, because I was very spoiled. Like, I worked with an incredible person and a brilliant mind and one of the greatest talents. I mean, not just in Seattle, just in radio in general, with BJ Shea. So all of a sudden it's like, you give me someone I don't trust and I don't know, they could be the most talented person in the world, but I'm going to be walking around like, do I trust this person? I don't want to go down that road. Like, I believe in that. Like, I want to know that, like, you know, I had that. I was spoiled with BJ. Like, we trusted each other. We had a good show together. We had a lot of fun together. Like, there was that comfort zone. And now all of a sudden I'm starting from scratch. So I was like, I don't feel comfortable doing it with anyone but Taryn. And I had to fight for it. And, like, she knows this. It's not like I'm saying this out of mind, but I had to prove that I'm, because here it is, a top market, the home, the big station for, you know, Odyssey in Seattle. And we want to put the night person on in the mornings. Like, that's risky. And a female. And there was like, I'm like giving them all these like recipes for disaster. And I'm walking in like, I have to be confident about it. Like, you know, and they even said that, like, do you think you'll succeed with Taryn Daly? And I point blank looked at them and said, absolutely. I'm confident of it because I trust her. And it was a moment in my life where I had to stop being humble, and I had to be cocky in a sense. Like, I had to like be like, look, I've been doing this for a long time and I've been successful at it for a long time with whoever I was on a show with. Like, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, working with BJ brought me to a whole new level, but like, I was successful with Andy. I was successful in any situation I've been put in because I work hard. I was like, now I got to believe in myself first, and then I have to believe in who I'm going to work with and hope that, and it could fail. It could still fail, but like, we're off to a great start. And so, thank you. I'm glad that it sounded like that, because it was a lot of hard work, but it's a testament to Taryn in the sense that, like, you know, she's come in with this new energy, with this not jaded morning radio person too, which I really like. Like, you know, she doesn't have like a preconditioned way to do things. She's just like, let's just try stuff. And she knows that, like, I'm not going to put her out to fail. Like, there's times where I could tell, like, okay, you know, right now this is overwhelming. She's having to do this, this, and this on the air. So I swoop in and I could, you know, I can see that while we're live on the air and try and help steer her in the right direction. But that's so few and far between. And it keeps getting less and less as we've done the show. Like, she's picked it up so fast, and it's been an incredible journey. And I've been very fortunate. And, you know, I've been having the most fun I've had in radio ever. And it's not because of anything. This isn't a shot at anybody. This is just because of what we're doing, and it's just so exciting and new, and to see that the ratings already started off great, and see how the company couldn't be more happy. And it's like, I'm very validated in a sense. Like, you know, I told everyone on my show right before we went live, I'm like, you know, usually I have a chip on my shoulder. I don't want to prove people wrong. That's how we all are in art. We always want to prove people wrong. But as I was like going through the motions, like, yeah, it was a whirlwind of 2 months, but I started to realize, I'm like, there's a lot of people high up in this company that believes in me and are willing to give me this opportunity. I was like, I'm not going to prove anybody wrong anymore. I'm here to prove people right. And I'm proving the people that believe in me right. And that's my goal. And I mean, to this day, like, there's a few people behind the scenes that have had nothing but, I mean, people that I never even knew they would even have, I was on their radar, and all of a sudden they're texting me yesterday to say, hey man, couldn't be prouder. And like, that's bonkers to me. But like, I even told everyone on the show, I'm like, we're not doing this to prove anybody wrong. We're proving people right. And that's the mindset I want to have. Like, I feel like that's been bleeding over to what we're doing on the show. Like, everybody on our show, the four of us, from Danny, Sarah, and Taryn, like, we come in every day with this attitude of, Let's make people feel good. Let's prove the I keep saying it, but let's prove the people who believe in us right. Let's show that we are capable of doing a great show, despite some people not believing that. Whatever. Like, that those aren't the people we care about. And man, it's been, I appreciate you saying that. I agree. I feel like what we've been doing has been really cool and different, and the feedback has been great. Of course, not everyone's going to love what we're doing. I'm sure there's people who think what we're doing is a steaming pile of turds. And that's the beauty of art, man. Like, not everyone's going to love what you're doing. And you can't ever try to make everybody love what you're doing, because you're going to go crazy if you do.
I almost said Andy. Before I let you go, bro, I want to ask you, what is the key as a man to deal with haters? How are you so thick-skinned? What is the key?
Well, Ryan, to be honest, like, I joke, but like, most days I'm thick-skinned, some days I'm thin-skinned. Some days it will hit me to the core. It just depends on how I'm feeling about myself. True. It's never about them. Like, at the end of the day, like, I say this, and it sounds very convoluted, but it's very simple. Like, why do I care about the opinions of people who I don't care about? And when you think about that, you're crazy if you do. Like, yes, of course we want the listeners to like us, but I don't know John from Tukwila.
Oh my God.
I don't know what his backstory is. I don't know what he believes in. I don't know what he likes. I don't know how he is as a human being. I don't know how he is as a husband, a father. Why am I going to let his tweet at me saying I suck bother me?
True.
He could suck as a human being. More often than not, when you get a negative comment, you click on their page. Within 30 seconds, you could be like, oh, this is all I need to know about this guy. He's a piece of crap. Why do I even care about his opinion? You know what I mean?
Damn, man.
Like, I care more about, like, if you didn't like what I was doing, I'd listen. If, you know, if my boss Ryan didn't like what I was doing, I'd listen. If my wife said, I don't like what you're doing, I'd listen. If my parents, you know, people whose opinion I care about, then yes, I'm willing to, like, listen to what they say. But even then, like, I mean, we deal with a talent coach with Steve Reynolds, who's incredible.
Yeah, he is.
And, like, everyone was warning me. They're like, hey, Steve will tell you if something's bad. He'll tell you if your baby's ugly. Like, and has he? Absolutely. Has he been great? I would never have asked for a better person. To me, he's, within months, has become a mentor. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me, he's made me a better radio personality. And it's not because he's told me everything I do is great. Like, he'll tell me if he doesn't like something. But I respect his opinion, and he's coming at me from a place of, I give a crap. I want you to be better. He's not saying you suck. This sucks. You're the worst. Go ask yourself. Those people, I mean, dude, you're going to go crazy. Like, but also I don't read any comments. I don't touch. Like, if there's a picture of me on KSW social media page or something about my show on KSW social media page, and maybe I'm breaking the cardinal sin of having to engage with listeners, I don't read a single comment. If you want to reach out to me, reach out to me. I will reply to you if you're cool. If you're an asshole, I'm not replying. And I'm not giving you the time of my day, because otherwise I'm just going to spend my entire day trying to get the last word with somebody. No one's opinion is going to change. And I've just wasted 30 minutes of my day when I could have been hanging out with my kid.
I think that's a thing I'm going to work on, is like, because I've been putting up a lot of videos on YouTube and I'm getting like thousands of hits. But then, like, if I'm outspoken on it, people will be like, you suck, blah, 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 da, da, da. Yeah. And then it's like affecting my day. But hearing that you don't look at it, if people really want to get a hold of me, they can just DM me, you know?
They can. Yep. And more often than not, the people who DM you are going to be pretty decent about it. Maybe sometimes you'll get a troll. But people just want to get a reaction, man.
True.
So they want to see, and they want to get other people to react to their reaction, either argue or go ahead and knock yourself out. Say the meanest things you want to say about me. I'm not going to read it. So you're just yelling into the clouds at this point. I'm hanging out with my family. I'm having a good day. I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm doing things that I love. I'm enjoying my life. I'm not on social media arguing with people. And I even tell it to some of my coworkers. Like, sometimes they'll go down that road. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, if you want to do that, if that's what you think is the most beneficial way for you to spend your afternoon, is arguing with Johnny Bunch of Numbers on Twitter.
Yes.
Go ahead. But you're not getting anything out of it. Like, what are you going to make him feel bad? He already feels bad. If he didn't feel bad, he wouldn't be on social media yelling at people. He's already a miserable person. So let him be miserable. You're not going to change his opinion. And if you, like, some people say the worst things to Sarah from our show because she's very polarizing.
Yes, she is.
And I tell her, I'm like, keep being you. That's why I wanted you on this show. Like, you're unapologetically you. You're a talent, and you push buttons, and let those buttons be pushed. But if they come at you trying to be a jerk, who cares? Like, who cares? I'm never gonna get mad at you if you don't reply to those people. Some radio people would. That's why, like, what I'm saying might not be the right way to do it. Like, if I was on a panel, I'm sure there'll be people who are in charge of social media rolling their eyes or wanting to yell at me because I'm telling you, ignore them. Don't even respond to them. Don't even waste your time. If you see it and you don't like it, delete it. I have people on my Instagram sometimes say stupid stuff about my coworkers or even about me. I see it. I just like whatever, and I just delete it. Like, and if they get mad about it, I go, oh, I should be allowed to say what I want. I'm like, you can, but I also am allowed to do what I want with it. It's very my accurate. Page.
Well, bro, yeah. Before I let you go, how can people find your show?
Odyssey app, of course, is the one they want us to push. AUDACY Odyssey app. But we're also on like Apple Podcasts. We're on, I'd imagine all the other, to be honest with you, I don't know what other ones we're on.
Apple's the best. Apple's the one to go to.
Yeah, KSW.com, of course, you can find us there. Social media, it's just Daily Migs, just D-A-L-Y, not like Daily how you'd usually spell it. That's her name, Taryn Daly, Steve Migs, and you can find us on all of those. We're trying to build our TikTok, so I say that because I'm the one that's usually uploading the videos, so I'd rather not just upload them for 150 people, but right now that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. It's the worst.
You gotta build, and I'm realizing TikTok is very different than some of the other ones. Like, those have been easy to get followers. TikTok's a little bit of a slower moving animal, but you know what? I'm having fun with it.
I noticed that TikTok doesn't like radio. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't do well with radio videos unless you're like one of those frat bro podcasts that like will interview a girl in porn. It's like very millennial or Gen Z. But I noticed like, the algorithm isn't very nice to rock and roll radio. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, honestly, for me, I'm just using it as a bank to illustrate some of the cool callers that we get. A lot of my TikTok videos are like a favorite moment from the morning of a... What I'm finding that our show is becoming, because they obviously, like when we first started, like, what's your show going to be about? You know, Taryn, originally we're like, Taryn's from the country. I'm a city person. And there's a dynamic. We're very much alike, but we have very different lifestyles because she lives on a farm and I don't. But what I'm realizing the show is really what it's becoming to me is... We are illustrating and showcasing how interesting so many normal people are, so many of our listeners. Like, and that's my favorite part of what the show has become is that we take a lot of calls and you just never know when you're going to get an insane phone call from somebody. You know that. Like, once they start talking, you're like, oh my God, like you can't fake it. You can't get a prep service to make you this phone call. Like,
of course
this is real. And I love that. Like, to me, that's like, sometimes they're clunkers and that happens and you just laugh it off and you move on. But then sometimes you get these calls, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the most interesting call I've ever received. And what I'm trying to use our TikTok for, more often than not, sometimes not, but is to illustrate how interesting some of our listeners are. Because to me, they're way more interesting than any celebrity.
I'm telling you right now, I would rather listen to a clunker. I'd rather listen to the worst clunker segment ever than a fake radio bit any day.
Same. In fact, sometimes the funniest moments, even our consultant Steve, he's like, I forget what we were doing, but he's just like, man, the call you guys had on, it was tough to listen to. But he's like, it all came back together at the end because the person was like, yeah, I'm just shocked I even got through. And then I didn't mean it, but I just go, you know, to be honest with you, I'm shocked you got through too. And Steve just thought it was like, he's like, for being such a bad call, you found a fun way to wrap it up. And like, to me, yeah, I mean, I'd rather that than the canned fake, oh my God, you know, you're pranking me. I mean, the they worst. All sound the same. But you know, for some people, they make very good careers doing it. So I mean, to each their own. That's not my style. That's not the radio I want to do. That's not the radio I think our listeners want.
So
but you know, for other stations, that's exactly what they want. I mean, it's no different than like, for me, like people are like, why do you like professional wrestling when you know it's predetermined? Like, it's the same argument I could have to someone like, why do you like top 40 radio when you know these are fake calls?
I'm and evil, if it's entertaining bro. To someone, people think it's real. Whenever I go on a date, bro, I will tell the girls that it's fake. Part. And the girls will be like, wait, War of the Roses is fake. And I actually worked at a job where I talked about it being fake on my podcast. And my boss got really mad at me because they were doing it within the building. I'm like, well, don't do fake radio. Come on.
right. I know. But, you know, there's people that love it no matter what. And I don't care. Like, that's not the audience I'm appealing to. And I think what we're doing is going to resonate better with our audience.
Well, bro. I like what you are doing on your show each morning. Keep up the good work. And I said the same thing to BJ, and I said the same thing to Rick Rumble this past week. I am currently saving up because I am now full-time I'm doing a bunch of different things at this radio company. I keep it low-key because it's conservative. And it's not that I'm not conservative, but I'm kind of edgy, so I keep it low-key. But I got my first full-time job. finally. So what I'm doing is I have vacation time. So I'm saving up my vacation time. I don't know where I'm going to find the money to go to the boot camp, but I feel like if I have the vacation time set up, I'll make it happen. So I'm saying it to you right now on February 22nd, 2024, that I somehow and some way will see you at the Morning Show Boot Camp in August.
Awesome, dude. We're all going to be there from our show. So I look forward to you being there with us.
Hell yeah.
Get to meet. I mean, I know you've met some of the people from our show. We get to meet Taryn as well.
And Taryn's awesome.
I look forward to it.
Awesome, bro. Thank you, man.
She's the absolute best.
You're the man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, bye.
Take care. Bye.
And that was Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Show on 99.9 KISW as he called in to Hoppy Hour. Now, if you're listening and you don't know who the hell I am, hi, my name is Ryan Hoppy, and I host the 8-time nominated and 2-time award-winning Hoppy Hour podcast. I do interviews with comedians and radio hosts, and I also do a talk show that's kind of a little morning zoo hyper shock jockery. So go to every single major platform and search up Hoppy Radio, H-O-P-P-E Radio. Go to my website, ryanhoppyradio.com, and add me on all social media at Ryan Hoppy Radio. This has been Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, signing off. Goodbye now.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
And like that.